Hello and welcome to Cool Sheets,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
You'll hear all about 10 things that we are currently enjoying in our lives.
Each of us has exactly 2 minutes to dive in and tell you about one of the things we've chosen.
It might be a book, an app, a gadget, a place, anything goes.
Don't forget to get all of our show notes on our website, coolsheets.cool.
You can also interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Let's dive into our Cool Sheets.
Hi, everyone. I'm Karen Holman.
And I'm Brian Hart.
And we have had just the correct number of donuts to be able to do a really great job on this
show.
Yeah,
I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling really donut pumped right now.
We decided this is the donut edition of Cool Sheets. All right. So I get to go first, and I'm going to start out with a donut. No. With a podcast. This podcast is called Lexicon Valley, and this is the podcast that you can envision that if you were best friends with a professor of linguistics and philosophy, and you were out to coffee, and you were like, hey, what is the origin of coffee, that this guy would know. And indeed, it's true. John McWhorter is the host of this podcast. And the way he talks, you can just tell he'd be awesome to hang out with. He also has a fabulous voice, so radio voice. He's so good. And this show is fabulous. So first off, I like etymologies, the origins of words and things like that anyway. And so he brings in that and makes it very humorous and interesting. And he also goes off on tangents. So sometimes I will say how great a podcast is or something because they do a really good job of their flow. And I will say he makes a minimum of 3 left turns during the course of this podcast, but it's totally fine. It's, you know, you start getting like, all right, I think I get it now. And like, vroom, he goes on to something else. So here's some examples. One of the first podcast episodes I listened to is called Private Parts. And the little tagline for this episode says, what does a rooster have to do with male genitalia anyway? So you can imagine what that episode is all about. But they're not all smutty. He talks about like and sort of and the uses of that. And one of them, I learned a new word, neologisms. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but how words come together, new words, old words, stories about them, backstories. It's really great. Lexicon Valley.
Whoa, that sounds right up your alley for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Since you do a lot of words on this podcast, so that's cool. But I think I would really like that too.
I think so.
Especially the dirtiest ones.
Oh, there's one that is dedicated the full 40 minutes to the F word.
Whoa, yeah, perfect.
Yep, and then there's another one I think he splits up 3 not so bad words. Anyway, but as I said, he pretty much hits on everything.
Man, I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. My first cool sheet is an article, and it is the 2019 Drunk Shopping Census. So, have you ever wondered what percentage of alcohol-consuming Americans shop drunk? How much do they spend, and what do they buy? Well, Hustle ran a survey to find out. So they surveyed over 2,000 alcohol-consuming American adults and found that drunk shopping is an estimated $45 billion a year industry. Unbelievable. The key findings, 79% of alcohol consumers have made at least one drunk purchase. The average annual spend per drunk shopper is $444. The things that are bought the most are clothing and shoes. And Amazon, by far, of course, is the most popular drunk platform for people to buy. This study was in March of 2019. The average age was 36 years old. They were in an income bracket of $92,000, which is more than double the national average, which I thought was interesting. And more men took it than female, 53% to 47%, but women were more likely than men to drunk shop, 80% to 78%. Then it goes down to what they drink. So 45% of men preferred beer, 50% of women preferred wine. And then it went into hard liquor. It goes into state by state. So Oregon's right around the average. Kentucky spends the most on drunk shopping at $742 annually. all kinds of really interesting and kind of enlightening information about drunk shopping. But I was surprised, 20% return things and only 6% regret their purchases. So this is the 2019 drunk shopping census.
That's an actual thing. Oh my God, that's hilarious.
That's why I, like, as soon as I saw before I read it, I was like, this is going to be a cool sheet.
Yeah.
For sure. Then when they actually had real data, I was like, this is actually pretty fascinating.
Oh, for sure.
About what's happening here.
Right. Well, and I think what made me laugh at the end was, did I shoo-shoo, by the way?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay, anyway, was that this is a thing, like, this is an annual survey or annual census that they do every year. So, yeah, clearly this is something that happens. I mean, I'm not surprised at all.
I've certainly done some drunk shopping before.
Yeah.
Well, it's usually on Amazon.
I know. And actually, when you first brought it up, I was thinking about wandering through the store. And so I'm thinking of me in my 20s, definitely.
The old school drunk shopping.
But then I'm like, oh, well, of
course.
There's
a little more of a public risk.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Oh, that is funny. Too good.
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was interesting, the gender gap, you know, that whatever you said, that more men took it, but then more females did. I forgot now.
Yeah,
but
it was a small percentage.
Yeah.
But it's funny because, you know, of course, there's that cliche that women are the shoppers and they love to shop and men hate to shop, which I guess is true, but it's slim.
Well, and it depends
on a slim percentage.
Well, so first off, I would say it depends on what you're shopping for. And the other thing is I would say the results show the percentages of the males and females who were willing to admit of whatever it is they, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So that depends on, too. Like, you've heard about those surveys about masturbation, and there's those jokes about that with males and females.
Oh.
The people who admit certain things and not, and anyway, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. No, there's definitely, people are just deciding what they want to reveal about themselves here. But the beer and the wine was very interesting. And then the liquor, on the liquor front, they said that 26% of men prefer whiskey. And then 13% of women prefer vodka. So it does say a lot of interesting things just about alcohol choices as well. So it has more than just the drunk shopping. But I love how that's how they framed it all.
Yeah. I love it. Okay. All right. On to my next cool sheet. All right. So I'm heading into the animal kingdom here. And so this is a video and an article that goes with it. And it's about great white sharks and how, I guess what I didn't really appreciate is how rare it is to get any footage on them, because I guess it's usually murky waters that they're in. So there was some footage that came up. This is National Geographic. Some footage came up because there's some unusually calm seas, and then there was a dead whale that was floating. And so the combination of those two things, there was this footage that was obtained of this shark. So this particular shark, it turns out, was in Hawaii where they got the footage, but they have been tracking her, and she was originally seen over in Mexico. And so then they found out that more about their migrations things, and also how hugely plump she was. And they were like, she's got to be pregnant. And then, no, it's because she's sitting here eating this whale like for days and days and days on end. And, you know, so there's all this speculation about that. And then it goes on to just talk about great whites in general. And again, all this little known information. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting is that the numbers of great whites in certain areas, including the northern Pacific Ocean and over by Cape Cod, and I'm sure other places as well, the numbers are increasing. And that is in stark contrast to so many species. We hear so much about climate change and all these things that are happening and declining species and all this stuff with salmon that's happening now. And that here is a species that is actually doing better. So lots of interesting stuff about great whites and critter cams.
cool. Gray whites are still pretty darn misunderstood, I think, yes. Thanks to Jaws.
Yeah.
Pretty much solely.
Isn't that amazing?
Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they're so fascinating. Certainly Shark Week has tried to educate
the
public on it a little bit more, but they still have such a stigma. So it's cool that there's more research coming. I also am a little curious on that population, how it's increasing, but yet many species in the ocean are decreasing.
Right.
Like if that's going to create some kind of extra imbalance,
you know,
because it's more predators.
Exactly.
Thriving, but less food for them. So, I mean, certainly they will soon then feel that effect as well. But I wonder, in the meantime, you know, they could like really shift where we're already losing some species and then we have way more predators that then eat tons more.
Yeah.
Like if it could really accelerate that. I don't know. That's
my gosh.
That's fascinating.
I know.
You just don't know. Yeah. Wow.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's cool.
Yeah. And there was a link, of course, there's many, many links. I watched most of them where they were actually attaching a camera onto a great white.
Whoa.
Yeah. And how they had to do that. They had to lure them in and then, and they had this long stick and they basically, I don't, it's just crazy.
Whoa.
Like getting a camera on a great white shark.
This is wild.
Something I've never pondered before,
yeah, no
I
kidding.
Must say.
Yeah. That's, wow. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad they figured it out, I guess.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I assume it's cool and it didn't hurt the shark permanently. So,
yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd be careful about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great. No pun intended. Okay. My next cool sheet is a short film. It's kind of a meta short film. And this short film is called Threat Level Midnight. It's a 26-hour short film from the United States version of The Office TV show. So in 2011, on February 17th, in the 17th episode of the 7th season of The Office, Michael Scott, the lead character played by Steve Carell, screened his movie that he's been working on for 10 years of writing, shooting, reshooting, and editing. He released his movie. And it was on the episode, it was the full movie, and it did the cut interviews like The Office does. And then finally they released it on YouTube, on the official Office TV station YouTube channel. But they cut out all the interviews and the little distractions, and it's just the movie from front to back. And it's funny that, you know, 6 years after I think the Office has been over, the series has been over, that they just released this now on YouTube in its full glory. If you are a big fan of The Office, and you remember that episode, it'll be a great throwback. I'm curious of how it would play if someone's never seen The Office, if they just watch it. Because obviously, knowing the characters and their personalities and their idiosyncrasies, especially The Office, because they're such oddballs and weirdos, and the movie's very much like them, and it's just absurd. It's like a James Bond movie, but it's like actually like a parody of Austin Powers, even like a parody of a parody. It's so absurd and awkward, but marvelous as well. It's definitely worth checking out. Threat Level Midnight.
I want to see it just to see what Dwight does in it.
Oh gosh, he's fantastic, of course. He is Michael Scott. So Michael Scott is kind of the main hero character.
Of course.
Of course. He wrote it. And Dwight is his sidekick. And Jim Halpert is the main villain.
Of course.
Golden Face or something? The plot is ridiculous. So after Secret Agent Michael Scarn, played by Michael Scott, is forced into retirement due to the death of his wife, Kathra Zeta Scarn, the President of the United States of America requests that he prevent Golden Face from blowing up the NHL All-Star Game and killing several hostages. So Scarn goes undercover to learn how to play hockey, killing another hockey player to get to become the hockey player is his best solution.
So it goes for there.
It's 26 minutes of pure madness with full-on montages and cheesy special effects and just It's insane.
That's awesome. I'm definitely watching that.
I don't know. I actually haven't got through the whole 20s. I saw the episode, of course.
Yes. Yes.
Because I've seen all The Office, but watching it just as is, I couldn't do it. I just haven't had a ton of time.
Yeah.
I will soon watch it all the way through again. It's just, I definitely went through little bits. I'm like, oh, yeah, that part.
Right, right, right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, my next cool sheet. I am going to be talking about a nonprofit, and I found out about this recently, and it's just wonderful. So it's called Homeboy Industries. It started in 1988. It's based down in L.A. Essentially, there was someone who was a, I'm trying to think if he was a priest or he was somehow a religious leader in the area and around Compton. He went there and he realized just how much the gang violence was impacting so many people's lives. And so he decided, all right, I want to do something to help gang members, especially those who are in gangs and want to get out, but they're not sure how to transition. And as I said, that was 1988. So many years later now, this is just a thriving nonprofit with so many different programs. And it's really, really cool. So one of the smaller things they do is tattoo removal. And so that's just one of them. And they have done thousands and thousands of those. But then they also have resources for people. So that includes mental health, help with that, and different social services. But they also do things where people are trying to get jobs coming out. And my favorite one that they have is solar panel installation training. And people are, they're learning a skill, and they're learning a skill that's really relevant in this day and age and also in the LA area, of course. So that's really wonderful. And they also have these social enterprises. So they have a brick and mortar called Homegirl Cafe. That is a place mostly women work there, and it's meant to be a place where women can come and feel safe, and especially those who have domestic violence in their past or present. But of course, men are still welcome there, but that's what it's intended for. They do electronics recycling. There's a bakery. You can order online from anywhere in the world. Their products, they have a bunch of swag and streetwear and really awesome. Everything they're doing, it's wonderful. Homeboy Industries.
Whoa, that sounds really neat.
Yeah, I was stoked to find out about it, and I'm excited next time I'm in LA to go to their very, they have a bakery.
Yeah, for sure.
And their bakery was listed as one of the 10 best bakeries in LA.
Wow, nice.
So they're doing a great job.
So they're legit. They're not just, I mean, it's a cool cause anyway.
Yes.
But they've got some game too happening. So that's great. Very cool.
For sure.
I love it. All right. My next cool sheet is a good one. Oh, I really like this one. It is a Wikipedia page. So there's a specific page on your Wikipedia called Obsolete Occupations. So this is a category of jobs that have been rendered obsolete due to advances in technology and or social conditions. So there are 20 subcategories on this page, and then tons of single entries, over 170 different individual entries. Each job has its own Wikipedia page, so you can really go down the rabbit hole here. Some of them are really interesting jobs that no longer exist, like an alchemist or a printer's devil, which is an apprentice in a printing establishment who performed a number of tasks, such as mixing tubs of ink and fetching type. Notable writers, including Benjamin Franklin and Mark Twain, were printer's devils in their youth. Super fascinating. There's also a lot of ones that we're really glad are obsolete right now, like the subcategory Nazi concentration camp occupants and house slaves. So you can read all about, though, what these jobs entailed, all these multiple jobs, which is interesting, but thank goodness they're not around anymore. Also, just tons of jobs that I've never heard of, so I can't wait to kind of dive in further and learn more about these jobs. Maybe a couple will be future cool sheets. Some of the other interesting ones were samurai, of course, which I do know about, but other ones that I didn't town crier, toad doctors, an iceman, mud clerk, rag picker, all kinds of really cool jobs that people had all of the time, and now they don't. Go to the Wikipedia, obsolete occupations.
I want to be a rad picker or whatever you say.
Yeah. Yeah, I did say rad picker, but it's actually rag picker.
Oh, rag picker.
Which is not as glamorous.
Oh, my God. So in college, in summers, I worked at a sawmill. Uh-huh. And one summer, I was the sticker picker.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
I wonder if that job's still around.
I don't know. It might be. There's like slabs of wood and there's sticks in between because they put them in the big dryers.
Uh-huh.
And they have to have those sticks, but you have to pull the sticks out before they go through the planing machine.
Yeah.
And you have to have a human there pulling the sticks out. So,
wow.
Sticker picker.
Sticker picker. It's not stick picker? Sticker picker?
No, probably just because sticker picker rolls off
sounds
the tongue.
Sounds really cool. But then I thought I'd do something with stickers and I got excited. And it's just sticks.
Yeah.
Still.
Sticks are cool.
All right.
All right. Nice. I like it. I like stuff like that. And just weird goes into that vintage realm of back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay. My next cool sheet. I am going to be talking about a website. And this website does a lot of different things, although its name is the Creative Connection Animation Studio. So that sounds like just making cartoons, you know. So, but it is much more than that. Their goal here is to ultimately create videos and that are animated, but they want to do it in such a way that they can teach something or they can display art. And they're essentially, they are clearinghouse for any business or any organization or any individual that wants to do this, but maybe they don't know how. And so they can come to the Creative Connection and then they will help them connect, as it sounds like, with if there's a writer or there is an animator or, you know, all the different ways to then come together and create these videos. So they can also help because a lot of times maybe an organization will have an idea. And so for example, they on their website, they give some of their latest videos that have come out. And one of them is about ovarian cancer and targeting that. And so these can be total more like public service announcements or they can be training videos or something like that. And so when this was coming together, this organization about ovarian cancer, and so they needed help and they brought all this together. So they also have some really cool ones that are just more artsy that I've enjoyed watching. And some of them have been hugely successful. They'll go up and they'll win awards and all this stuff. So this clearinghouse of creativity and bringing people together for this sole purpose of creating these videos has been really successful and really wonderful. So again, this is the Creative Connection Animation Studio.
That's a mouthful.
I know. I almost couldn't say it.
But very cool. What a cool resource for people. And it sounds like just fun to peruse around and check out.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those things you would never think of that needs to exist.
Yeah.
But of course it needs to exist.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we see videos all the time for every possible use everywhere nowadays. So.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that there's more and more of these kind of collaboration and meeting other artists type venues, because that used to be one of the hardest things about being in movies and an artist and, you know, even programmers, I'm sure, you know, it was just hard to meet people. And that was kind of the most important thing, even sometimes more important than your formal education, at least. You certainly had to have the skills.
Yep.
You had to have real world experience, but you needed to know people that, mm-hmm. that were doing things that you wanted to do and to collaborate with them or make other projects. That's one of the best things about film school back in the day. It wasn't so much learning all the skills of how to cut a film together, because that's you can learn that online.
Right. Yeah.
But to meet people that are in the business, doing the businesses, you know, doing that thing, that's very invaluable. So it's cool that now they're doing this online, though, too, so you don't have to spend $100,000
a year. Oh, exactly,
yes. To get those networking connections, you know, just if that's what the only It is, and certainly there's pros and cons, of course, to both.
Yeah.
But it's just good that there's other resources for people to use that don't have the means.
And, definitely.
Yeah, that's very, very great. I like it. All right, my next cool sheet is an artist. This artist is Eleanor Lutz, and she has this wonderful website, tabletopwhale.com, which is a fantastic name. And Eleanor is a, I love how she writes this in her bio. Eleanor Lutz is a PhD candidate for the University of Washington Biology Department. So she's still a student. She's a candidate to get her PhD. I love that. So she has this website where she blogs and she shares charts, infographics, and animations and about any and all things science. And it's a beautiful website. Very interesting. It's two things I love, infographics and science. So put them together and I was just in hog heaven. And infographics are great when they're done well. They can also be an eyesore and very hard to read, but beautiful infographics are one of my favorite things. And she has tons of them. So she has the topography map of the moon, which I'll show Karen now, at least, and it'll be on our website. That's just this amazing detail of topography of the moon. Then she did the geology of the moon. And so it was a totally different map. And these things are gigantic. The geology of the moon, she took six different data sets, and each one had unique labels and data in different formats. And she combined them all to make this one giant map. It's amazing. She also has an animated sketch of Jupiter. So it's an animated on the website, which is amazing. Like the storms and all these things happening, the Atlas of Space, the Western constellations. Oh, I got to talk about the User's Guide to Muscles. I'm out of time though. I can't talk about it anymore. Go check out Eleanor Lutz.
Oh, and it's beautiful. I love her choice of colors.
Yes.
Oh.
And she even has like abstract things like this one that I'm showing Karen now that's just called, I think, Meet Me After Sunset. So they're not all infographics. It's also just beautiful art and amazing things that she designs. Super brilliant person. And she also has a shop, so you can buy t-shirts posters and iPhone cases, all kinds of different things if you want in these designs that she's made. So
that piece of art reminds me kind of the Cloud City.
Mm, yeah,
and
I can see that.
You know, this sort of idea of like, oh, it's sunset and I don't know, maybe a suburb of the Cloud City.
Yeah, it's a very, you can see it on the website or when you go into her website especially. But yeah, it's a very fictional, but beautiful city.
That's so awesome. So,
yeah, she's super talented.
Clearly.
Yeah. And what was the one called? Definitely check out the Atlas of Space. Oh, super, super great. Yeah. The User Guide to Muscles is amazing. They're all amazing.
She doesn't need to get a PhD. She should just do that.
I know. She's got a name. And I love how she's already selling, things to help pay for that PhD.
Yeah.
And then beyond. So, yeah. Super talented.
Oh, I love it. Well, I am definitely going to that website very
shortly.
Yeah,
I knew you'd like it especially.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I love science and infographics too, and I knew you would definitely dig it.
Yeah.
And constellations, you've talked about that before.
Oh, my gosh.
On the show. So, yeah, you dig it.
And the moon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am to my last cool sheet. And as you know, not very often will I have a TV show as a cool sheet, but this one, here's another one. And pretty soon I won't be able to say that anymore if I keep doing them. All right. So this is called The Good Place. And I have to say, when it first started, I was like, okay, it's entertaining, it's light and fun and fine. But once I realized the layers to it, I really got into it. And now I am completely hooked. You can now see easily seasons 1 through 3. I don't know where, regular places. So 4 is now in the process of being revealed week by week. I think NBC has it at this point or something. And I am always looking forward to it. And I don't have access to it, so I have to seek it out. And I'm like always waiting for it. So that says something. It really, I could tell, I didn't know, but then again, I did know that the author the creator must be a philosopher because he has one of his characters is a philosopher and he's always struggling with these moral dilemmas. And the storyline all has to do with essentially heaven and hell. And so this throughout using comedy, and I do love the Kristen Bell is the main protagonist who plays Eleanor Shellstrop. She's hilarious and I love just her vibe. It's just it's really funny and light. And Ted Danson reappears out of who knows where. I don't know what he's been doing the last few decades, but all of the actors and actresses are just wonderful. I love it. The Good Place.
Yeah, gosh. I've watched only a few episodes of that, actually. I thought it was wonderful and charming, and I knew a lot of people were talking about it, so I started watching it. I just haven't been able to dive in fully because of time reasons, but, I mean, who doesn't love Kristen Bell? She's just the most delightful human on earth, pretty yeah. much one of the tops anyway. And, yeah, it's great to see Ted Danson back yeah. doing stuff, and he's great.
And I love, I don't
the
know.
The premise is super fascinating
it really
for
is.
Sure.
Do you know original. William Jackson Harper?
Possibly.
He's
if I
the
see
philosopher
him.
In it. Mm. He's great. He does such a good job. And Jamila Jamil, do you know her?
That sounds
really
familiar.
She's also amazing. I mean,
I'm bad at names unless I see the person.
Well, and the cool thing, too, is some of these characters I was, you know, slightly either lukewarm or even annoyed with, but then they grow on you and then you love them. And I love it when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely want, when I saw it, even though I stopped watching it, that's no reflection on the actual show. I really can't wait to start watching it some more because it does. It just looks so great.
And I would say at minimum, try to watch the full first season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm sure I'll be hooked. Like I could already tell I would be. I just couldn't keep doing
yeah.
that kind of schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I will start it once Mandalorian's over, maybe.
Right.
And Ted. All right. Well, cool. Just more confirmation, though, of how great that show is.
Yeah.
My last cool sheet is a YouTube channel playlist. So this is the bigger YouTube station is Jubilee, and this is the Middle Ground playlist. And the Jubilee's credo is we believe in the power of empathy for human good. Wonderful. And this Middle Ground, very interesting series. So they basically take three people from opposite points of view, put them in a room together, and then provide them prompts and an opportunity to discuss their beliefs to see if they can come up with any kind of middle ground. They pull no punches. They go for the big stuff. They talk about rich and poor people to see if they can seek an understanding. Can people from Israel and Palestine see eye to eye? Can Trump supporters and immigrants speak together? Pro-vaccine versus anti-vaccine, LGBTQ plus and Christians, can they see eye to eye? And it is a fascinating series to watch. They're right around, I'd say, anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes long, usually under 30 minutes. And it gets heated, of course, sometimes, but they keep it really, the understanding is that this is supposed to be a civil discussion. So if it does get emotions flare up, they're like, hey, let's take a pause. And then they go back into sections. They go back to the back of the room under a spotlight. And then they say, have you ever been affected by your own moral dilemmas or something, step forward. And then those people step forward. Sometimes it's just all one side. Sometimes it's two sides. And so it's interesting, like the conversations they have, and then they bring the rest of them in, and then they start talking again. And then if it gets too heated, they break them up. But usually at the end, they at least all hug or shake hands and they have a new respect for each other because they've communicated in a healthy way. And that just doesn't happen anymore, especially right now. We're so divided. Definitely check out Middle Ground.
I am so interested in things like that. I love
yes.
that.
It needs to happen so much more.
Yes.
And this needs to keep happening and become bigger. They actually just started a podcast called Radical Empathy.
Ooh,
where they
nice.
Actually take one of the people from either one of their topics or they have people call in has maybe a view considered by some or most to be kind of an outside view on things. So they had a flat earther.
Oh, wow.
On their first podcast.
Who's like seriously flat earther.
Serious. Like, and it was, so that one was interesting because there's a middle ground YouTube episode with flat earthers versus whatever spherists, but they're all scientists, of course, that astrophysicists and like very, very brilliant people. But these aren't like flat earthers that just kind of recite whatever they've heard. I mean, these are at least very, very deeply researched and ingrained, even if it's a different view than mine, but they at least know what they're talking about. Like they don't, they pick people that are strong in both sides, that aren't fluffy and make one, you know, because they could easily taint that and make it look bad, like put on some people that barely know what they're talking about. Same thing with the scientists. It could be non-science. If I try to explain why the technical reason that the Earth is a globe, I couldn't articulate that in a scientific way that a well-researched flat earther would destroy me.
Yeah, you know,
they could debunk it or whatever.
Right.
And I wouldn't know what to say, and I'd feel like an idiot, and they don't do any of that. They don't want people to feel like idiots. They're just really interested in their different points of view. So the podcast episode is just one of the flat earthers, and it just talks about her life, her upbringing, why she thinks this, and it's very fascinating.
Yeah.
And then the second one, they've only had two. This is a brand new podcast, the time of recording, 2019. They've only had two episodes. And the second one is somebody that is willingly going through gay conversion therapy. So two like gigantic episodes as their first super controversial subject matter, but that it's very humanizing and super fascinating. Whether you agree or not, it's worth a listen for sure.
Oh,
probably
yeah.
more so if you don't agree. I think it's just to see these people's perspectives and point of view.
Well, and
it's so great.
In terms of agreement, there are those two sides. So you're going to agree probably with one partially at least.
Yeah.
And everyone's got to agree that we need to find the middle ground.
Yes.
So that's great.
It is. It's one of the better. I just found it. I don't even remember how I stumbled upon it. But I instantly just started. I watched like six or seven episodes. So hours, you know, all at once. Just
wow.
Because I was just absolutely encapsulated in this conversation with these people. So, so great. And how concerned they are about keeping it civil was so great.
I'm glad they do that. I'm really, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's how it should be done.
Yes.
All right.
Cool.
Well, great. I guess it's donut time again.
Yeah, let's have some more donuts.
All right. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cool Sheets. You can find out more about all the cool sheets we listed by going to our website, coolsheets.cool, and looking for the links.
That's coolsheets.cool. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Leave comments for us on Facebook or email us at info@coolsheets.cool. Bye.